Einsteigen, aufdrehen, losfahren. Mit dem neuen Volkswagen T-Roc bist du bereit für den großen Auftritt. Selbstbewusst und voller Power. Du steigst ein? Keine Kompromisse. Nur du und der Moment. Alles passt. Dein Sound, dein Drive, dein T-Roc. Rockt. Der neue T-Roc.
Stu does America.
The best of Kamala Harris's Veep thoughts. Head to veepthoughts.com right now. You can pick your favorites, like the ones you like, and the top videos we're going to do in a little holiday special for you coming up here in a couple of weeks. Get your Stu Does America gear as well for the holidays. StuDoesMerch.com. StuDoesMerch.com. Use the promo code Stu10 for 10% off your entire order. Steve Baker is here with a look at the future under President Trump for the January 6th rioters. The House releases their long-awaited report on the COVID-19 response. We'll take a look at the latest. By the way, just to save you a little bit of time, everything went perfectly. That's what the report says. We'll get into maybe some of the details here just in a minute, but everything was perfect. We're going to start, though, by doing the Hunter pardon backlash. Yes, the Hunter pardon backlash. Now, we've come all the way full circle now. We've come from the Hunter Biden laptop doesn't exist to full immunity for all crimes for 11 years. So I don't know if you've been following that story arc, but here we are. It's been interesting. Joe Biden ducking questions on his decision to pardon his son Hunter. Here is Biden in Africa.
Mr. President, do you think Trump will continue your efforts here? Mr. President, why did you pardon your son?
Now, if you didn't hear that, he said, "Welcome to America." He's in Africa, but the America part of Africa, to be clear. So everything should be fine. Honestly, like with my expectations and the hurdle of morality that Joe Biden has to clear for me on a day-to-day basis, I'm not even mad at him pardoning his kid. I mean, I'm surprised he waited this long. Honestly, the second the election was over, I expected this, and we got it a couple of weeks later. It's not that big of a shock. And I will say, he has the right to do it. He has the pardon right. I don't like this particular part of the Constitution. There is a good way to fix that. It's called a constitutional amendment. And honestly, I think it should be something we should consider. I don't think it's a great idea to have one guy being able to kind of pardon his friends and family members. If you want to put a limitation on it, maybe you want to get rid of it completely. I'm open to all of that, honestly. I just don't think it doesn't seem like a very American power for one guy to have this, like, well, you can pardon anybody you want. Now, I'm going to be talking to a guest here in a little bit. I'm going to be very excited that he still has the ability to receive a pardon. Steve Baker is going to be coming up in a little while. I understand why it exists, and maybe it just should just be limited in some way. I don't know. But what I will say is that's the way to fix it. The way to fix it is not to sit here and whine about him pardoning family members, because every president has done something that the other side has not liked on this front. You know, I mean, you can go back and look at the pardons of, you know, someone like Steve Bannon. The left hated that, you know, and they said, oh, well, it's just, you know, that's wrong. He went through the justice system. And then Donald Trump said, well, it was political persecution. And I mean, this is what every side does every time. I'm not surprised about it. So, you know, this one is really expansive. It's probably the most egregious. We've never seen a son be pardoned before. We've seen brothers, though, be pardoned before. It's just honestly not all that surprising. I will say this, and this is something that keeps getting repeated in the media, that this would have never happened to the average Joe. If this was just a regular guy, not Hunter Biden, he would have never been prosecuted for this. If you look at these crimes and you say, oh, well, people who fill out the gun form incorrectly don't typically get prosecuted for that. Might get there unless there's an associated crime. And people who, you know, don't pay their taxes, they don't necessarily go to jail for that. Maybe they get fined or something. But normally that doesn't happen. And in some ways, that's true. I mean, if you look statistically, most people who check the box and say that they are not drug addicts and wind up being drug addicts, they don't necessarily go to prison for a particularly long time if it's their only offense and they weren't associated with another crime. Same thing with the taxes, you know, like taxes, you can certainly, you got to pay your taxes. If you don't pay your taxes for a couple of years, the IRS will notice. But the difference here is kind of interesting, right? The reason why people, you know, like Hunter Biden is being called out for his gun purchase and the wrong form that he pulled, checked the box on that he wasn't a drug addict, is because he wrote a book about being a drug addict. And then he went on television and said he was a drug addict a bunch of times. And everyone was like, wait a minute, Didn't he? What about this gun purchase here? We had this crime. He was a drug addict. Isn't this a problem? And then he made millions and millions of dollars on his book about being a drug addict. And then millions and millions of dollars were in his pocket from the book about being a drug addict. And he hadn't paid his millions and millions of dollars in taxes. Now, it is true. If you make $32,000 a year and you owe $2,000 in taxes and you don't pay those $2,000 a couple years in a row, chances of you going to prison are pretty low. But if you owe millions and millions of dollars that you got from Burisma, I think there might be a problem there. So these are not equivalent cases by any means. He owed millions of dollars in taxes. And by the way, we should point out, when he paid it, he still didn't pay it. It was his friend. Do you have friends like this? His friend who paid it. It's a weird freaking friendship, I will tell you that. Not to mention, I still to this day, to this morning, heard, and Donald Trump accused the Biden family of being corrupt with no evidence. With no evidence? Just to outline a little bit of this no evidence, there's an entire freaking laptop of evidence. There are messages of Hunter Biden saying he's there with his dad and you need to send us payments from China because my dad's going to get mad at you while he's still vice president of the United States. Kind of a big deal. And you might say, well, wait a minute, Joe Biden says he didn't do that. That might be true, but you still have evidence that indicates that he did it. Maybe you'd sort out and maybe it was totally false. How about all the payments that went to the big guy? Do we have any evidence of that? Well, we have the emails that say the big guy was getting the money. We have the money changing hands all over the place. And we have the people who are on the emails who are saying the big guy was Joe Biden. The actual witnesses, the people who were on the emails. That's called evidence. It might not build the exact case that people are accusing Joe Biden of. Maybe he was just a victim of a wild scam of his son. I don't know. I mean, I kind of know, but I don't know for sure. And that's why you have investigations where you use the evidence to come to the conclusion. And that's kind of what I think maybe should happen. Now, a lot of people are getting a little upset about what happened here because it's not the pardon. As I was saying, like, I'm not at all surprised that a person who is as power hungry as Joe Biden would use that power to benefit people around him who have helped him allegedly mule about $10 million across borders. I'm not surprised that person would get the benefit of the doubt when it comes to the pardon power. But the lying is what is sort of bothering a lot of people, even on the left. Why? Because they look like idiots, right? They came out and defended him. And at the end of the day, they look like morons now. I mean, it's, you know, a pathetic thing. And you know, no one gets more mad about this than journalists who occasionally get taken for this. Now, I don't remember Jake Tapper specifically backing the assertion of Biden saying he was never going to pardon his son. A lot of journalists did fall for this, though. Tapper was calling Biden out for sure yesterday, says Biden lying about pardoning Hunter makes him and his administration and allies either credulous or complicit. Here's a clip.
The president's family and allies shouldn't get special treatment. This was an improper use of power. It erodes trust in our government, and it emboldens others to bend justice to suit their interests. And look, while we all can sympathize with a president who has already lost two children under tragic circumstances, and surely most of us would help our kids in any way we possibly could, it is also true that today's act further portrays the criminal justice system as one that helps the well-connected. Prisons are full of people who have made bad choices, even broken laws, because of their addictions. It's too bad for them that they have the wrong last name.
Again, this is why I don't like the pardon power. It doesn't make any sense to me because what he's saying is completely true. The only reason Hunter Biden is getting off from this is because his last name's Biden. It's the only reason. And like, I can't even be critical of Joe Biden on the fact that he's using this power for this reason. He can use it for whatever reason he wants. That's the problem with the power. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't seem very American to me at all. But it is in the Constitution. And to change that, you know, see, here's the thing. The Second Amendment, you might not like And if you want to change it, you have to get a constitutional amendment to overturn it. I don't like the pardon power thing. That's not my thing. To change that, I don't just get it. I don't just get to make laws. I have to amend the Constitution to get what I want. And if I don't get them to amend the Constitution, I don't get what I want. And I know that's really confusing for the left, but that's the way this is supposed to work. Democrats are openly criticizing the pardon. No family should be above the law. Senator Gary Peters of Michigan called it an improper use of power. Representative Mary Glunskamp Perez of Washington, a frontline Democrat, she's in a competitive district, said Biden made the wrong decision. No family should be above the law. Senator Michael Bennett of Colorado said that further erodes America's faith that the justice system is fair and equal for all. Again, I'll point this out, and I'm going to hit the same note many, many times, I suppose, here today. But the pardon power is the law. It is part of the justice system. It's just a part I don't like. So if you want to change that, maybe both sides can get together and be like, you know, let's change this. Let's alter this a little bit. Maybe no one in your family. Maybe not multiple decades of crimes that haven't even been named. Maybe it just the whole thing goes away. Maybe we just have a, you know, you can't do it that way. I don't know. That's, I'd be open to many different possibilities. Biden's pardon of son Hunter threatens to tarnish legacy. No, not that legacy of his. The legacy is so good with his, you know, 38% approval rating and getting thrown out of his own nomination. What a legacy it's been so far. Oh, you know who's really loving the legacy today? A bunch of women in classrooms in Afghanistan who just learned they can't go to school anymore. What a legacy this man has. Oh, it's so glorious. Here is what the historian says. It's been astonishing to watch Biden cast a long shadow over his many achievements in office simply by acting as many presidents too, which is to form, which is from a place of an outsized ego, says Alexis Coe, a presidential historian and biographer. If Biden had dropped out of the race in 2022 on a high note after the midterms, they lost the House in the midterm. Everything that came after that would have been towards the end of his biography. He's had a lifelong record of public service. Now, almost everything he's accomplished will be crammed at the beginning, and the pardon will be one of the things that dominates the rest. I would love to be wrong about that. To be clear, his legacy's a joke. He's been terrible senator. He is was a terrible president and terrible vice president. That being said, probably, I mean, it's one of the least offensive things he's done is pardon this kid. I mean, that's to be serious about this. Like, we can all talk about this, and it is a big story. I understand we're doing it with second day of shows on it. I understand why people are talking about it. It is an interesting thing. You could say all the stuff that you want about it, but at the end of the day, he's playing. This is the one time he's actually under the rules. He's actually paying attention to the rules this time. Kind of. I mean, he didn't go through the normal process of a pardon. But generally speaking, a pardon was within his right. Him releasing student loan debt for millions of people is not within his right at all. The eviction moratorium is not within his right at all. There's a lot of things he's done that have just been disasters that have been in his right. This is just like, I don't know. It's shoulder shrug, with the exception of all the lying. But of course, it's Joe Biden. He has to insert lying into everything. Manchin says Joe Biden should pardon Trump. Now, this is an interesting thing. Let me give you the Manchin pitch, and then we'll go through it.
As a father, I don't know of a father that wouldn't have done the same thing. What I would have done differently, and my recommendation as a counsel would have been, why don't you go ahead and pardon Donald Trump for all his charges? And make it, you know, it'd have gone down a lot more balanced, if you will. I'm just saying, wipe them out.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, it's this nice thing. He's doing a nice thing for Donald Trump. He'd be allowing him out of his charges. Actually, at the end of the day, what it would be a little low-key slam. Because Donald Trump's not going to get charged with anything. These are going away the second Donald Trump gets into office anyway. They're not going to be pursued. And when they can't be pursued while he's in office. And when he gets out of office, the statute of limitations is going to be expired on all of them. This would just be a way of saying, hey, look at how great I am. I'm going to pardon him. So I could kind of see it happening. I could also see it happening paired with, let's say, a Jim Biden pardon. For all the stuff that he has going to be is likely guilty of, but has not been convicted of yet. I could see that happening and being like, everyone's talking about the Trump thing while he was actually slamming under a couple of other family pardons. We'll see if that happens. Tuberville on Hunter Biden pardon. If it was my son, I'd pardon him, too. He says this is to C-SPAN.
President Biden, well, I'll put it this way. If it was my son, I'd pardon him too. But here's what I didn't like. Don't lie to us. Don't tell us you're not going to do it and then do it. That's not what a president should be like. You know, if you're going to do it, which he should have at the end of the day when somebody asked him that, I'll make that decision later. But don't lie to the American people, because it's not upholding to the president of the United States.
I get his point here. Of course, if he said, I'm going to decide later, he also would have been lying, because he had already decided. He had decided long ago that this is going to happen. There's lots of reporting coming out on that now. But at the end of the day, we all know what he was going to do. Everybody knows it. Everybody knows he was going to pardon him. Everyone knew. Everyone knew at the time, unless you're a complete idiot, unless you're, to the level of a view, panelist. Anyone with the IQ above a view panelist knew what was going to go on here. John Stewart is calling out the hypocrisy of the Hunter Biden pardon, but I think also was kind of pretty much fine with it. Here he is talking about the story yesterday.
Faith in the rule of law. Finally. Democrats have a moral perch from which they can judge without shame, hypocrisy, or nuance.
Breaking news, President Biden has issued a pardon for his son, Hunter Biden.
Mother! We were so close. But you know what? Good, get fine. It's good. It's right. It's his right. He's an 82-year-old man. Doesn't want to spend the rest of his life visiting his son in prison. Republicans get away with all the time. I'm sure the pardon is a narrowly written, precisely drawn farewell note of compassion for a loved one.
The pardon, sweeping, covering offenses that Hunter Biden, quote, has committed or may have committed or taken part in over the past 11 years.
Years is a very specific and not rounded amount of time. So, Hunter, I'll give you a pardon. Well, a few years, 5 years, 10 years. It needs to be 11. And if you would be so kind, make sure this upcoming New Year's Eve is also covered. Pardons could cover crimes you may have committed. I'm surprised Biden didn't include the phrase on Earth One or any of the Earths in the multiverse.
So where do we go from here? Where does this go? DOJ special counsel says Hunter Biden's indictment should not be dismissed. This is an interesting one. I don't know exactly where this leads yet. On Monday, David Weiss, special counsel of the U.S. DOJ, filed a request to the judge who presided over the gun case, Judge Mary Ellen Noreika, seeking to deny the motion to dismiss Hunter's indictment. The government does not challenge that the defendant has been the recipient of an act of mercy, Weiss said in the filing. That does not mean the grand jury's decision to charge him based on a finding of probable cause should be wiped away because the defendant falsely claimed that the charges were the result of some improper motive or selective prosecution. No court has agreed with the defendant on these baseless claims, and his request to dismiss the indictment finds no support in the law, the special counsel added before requesting the dismissal of the indictment be denied. That's kind of an interesting play. They're basically saying, like, hey, he was accused of he was cleared, given clemency for crimes that were associated with a political prosecution. And no court has said it's a political prosecution. So this one still stands. I don't know. We'll see if that goes anywhere. Also, the pardon means the Fifth Amendment trouble for Hunter Biden. This is one a lot of people are talking about. In the hours since the pardon, Republicans, along with legal experts, have elevated the significance of what the younger Biden's pardon means for their longstanding investigations, contending that it opens up the playing field for lawmakers to question him on nearly everything since he has now been pardoned for over the past 11 years. Under the Fifth Amendment, people can refuse to answer questions if their responses might incriminate them in criminal cases. However, with all criminal liability now erased by the pardon, Hunter Biden could face contempt charges if he refuses to testify before congressional panels. That's another interesting one. Now, they might just just say, well, we're worried about state and local charges. I don't know if they can get away with it on that front. I don't know where they're going to go on all of this stuff, but there are still a bunch of sort of legal strings out there that can still be pulled and tugged at. I don't know that Hunter's ever going to come up with charges. I mean, if you kind of look at Trump's history, you know, he likes to talk about this stuff in the moment, but generally speaking, like with Hillary Clinton, it was lock her up, lock her up, lock her up. And then he got into office and was like, look, I'm going to move on. I want to do something for the country. I don't care about that old thing I was talking about. Some of that, I think, will still happen. And I don't know that he'll want to bother trying to chase down all these, you know, legal theories to get Hunter Biden in trouble still. I think he's probably just going to move on with his life. We will see where this turns out. Now, hopefully he also has maybe a pardon coming for our own Steve Baker, who, you know, was convicted or pled guilty to, I think, journalism. I don't know what he was charged with, honestly, but he may be the recipient of a pardon. We will see, and we'll talk to him a little bit about that coming up next. I want to tell you about America's number one daily fantasy sports app. It's called Prize Picks, and it has over 5 million active members. I happen to be one of them. In fact, I was on Prize Picks last night, and they had a, I don't know what they call it. It's not flex play. They have some term for it, but they give you basically your money back if you lose. So I went for three basketball players going more or less on a certain amount of points, which they give you, and you just have to pick more or less. I got two out of the three right. Didn't get the third one this time. And what happened? I just got my money back. That was it. They have all these discounts on certain players. They make it easy for you to do. Super easy to navigate as well if you've never tried daily fantasy sports before. It's an amazing and fun app where you against the numbers. You pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. Or maybe you just get your money back. You even win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as few as 4 correct picks. Prize Picks is the best way to get in a lot of action on sports in most states, including California, Texas, Georgia, a bunch of the big ones. And it's the only real money daily fantasy platform with an injury insurance policy so that your lineups stay in play even if one of your players get injured. This happened to me a couple weeks ago. When my guy got injured in the first half, I got my money back because, well, you know, they have the injury insurance thing. So check it out. Prize Picks, it's a great place to go to add a little excitement to your daily fantasy sports diet. Download the Prize Picks app today and use the code STUSPORTS. You'll get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. The code is STUSPORTS on Prize Picks to get $50 instantly when you play only $5. Prize Picks, run your game.
Jeder meckert über den ÖPNV. Aber was steckt wirklich dahinter? Mit dem Podcast Ticket to Anywhere blickst du hinter die Kulissen des Nahverkehrs. Schauspieler Maximilian Mund reist zu seiner Oma, trifft spannende Menschen wie Malte Zierden oder Linda Zervakis und erklärt alles zu Bus und Bahn und wie sie besser werden können. Erlebe ein außergewöhnliches Audioerlebnis rund um unsere alltägliche Mobilität. Jetzt reinhören auf Spotify oder unter zukunftnahverkehr.de/podcast.
Joined once again by Steve Baker, investigative journalist and Blaze Media correspondent. Steve, thanks for coming back on the program.
Good to be back, Stu.
First, let me get you get your reaction to the Hunter Biden pardon. Was there even the slightest bit of you that was surprised in at all?
No, not at all. I would pardon my son if I had the authority constitutionally.
Yeah.
And I could only think of maybe a couple of things my son would have to do that I might not pardon him for.
Right.
But you know, I would say that probably Hunter was in that position because he had a dad that was not such a good dad and allowed him to get into that trap or that legal quagmire that he was in, maybe even placed him there himself, as we know.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, being a father myself, and you know, when my son was a teenager, we had some rough days.
Sure.
But he's come through that, and I would certainly sit down with my son and I would tell him, I said, I'm 82 years old. This is your last chance. I'm going to give it to you. I would certainly have approached it that way instead of the manner in which Biden did approach it, which was basically he reprimanded the system and said clearly that Hunter was only prosecuted because of the Biden name.
Right.
No.
No.
Not at all.
Not at all. the lying was a big problem, though, too, problem. Right? Like, the lead up to it, when you're trying to get people to vote for you and you lie to them constantly about how you're not going to do this and then you do it, that's a big problem. And when you think about it from the, because I had the same instinct as a dad, like, I mean, if your kid gets in trouble at school, you want to go to the school and be like, hey, come on, you can let him out of this. Like, that is your instinct because you love your son, right? You love your family. But, like, it's not a great instinct as a parent, I don't think. I don't think it leads to good outcomes, typically, especially when it's this expensive. I mean, I know, and we don't have to get into your situation specifically when it comes to a pardon. I hope you get one. But, like, my guess is they're not going to clear you from 2014 to 2024 because that would be insane, right? Like, if there's a specific thing that there was a miscarriage of justice, okay, pardon that. You can't just say an entire, I mean, 11 years? This is unprecedented.
Well, it's very specific, isn't it?
It is.
It kind of gives, yeah. I mean, it literally, they kind of just showed their hand right there. Mm-hmm. There's a reason why we're doing that.
Yeah, yeah, 2014, very, very specific. I think, this is just my advice to you. If you ever get into a conversation about a potential pardon, ask for like a year in the future, because then you can do all sorts of cool stuff.
That
right?
would be fun.
An entire year. It's like the purge, but only for you. So, I mean, I don't
right,
know.
Right, right, right.
Just throwing that out there.
Good advice.
You, of course, we've talked about your situation for a while. On January 6th, you were accused of the crime of standing. Pretty much.
Yeah, I know Pat likes to refer to it as milling around.
Milling. Right, you shouldn't have been milling. So milling around, you're, of course, a journalist. You were there. You were documenting an event. It's quite clear. You're on video the whole time. We've gone through the story. If you haven't missed it, go back and watch the previous interviews. But it is interesting now. We are at a situation where Donald Trump has run and said over and over again that he was going to pardon at least most of the January 6th people, the nonviolent offenders in particular. He won the election. He's a few weeks away from taking office. And yet we still have the Department of Justice going after people who were there on January 6th. I mean, this is still happening today, isn't it?
Yeah, they're not slowing down at all. I mean, they're running full speed ahead on all the trials. Now, there have been a few continuances of hearings, of sentencing dates. Granted, mine was not continued. My judge set my sentencing date. My sentencing date is March the 6th. Mm. If I don't get a pardon, my judge is going to put me in jail because he does not like me. And and he told me why.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. We're going to be writing a story about that.
Oh, I can't wait.
But the bottom line is that, no, they seem to be going full steam ahead, unabated at all. And even after Trump signaled the other day after Hunter's pardon was announced, that was the first time that Trump has mentioned J6 in light of a pardon quote. It was one of his posts on his social media, I guess True Social.
Yeah.
And then as we look at the cases that are going on right now, it appears that DOJ is saying, they're saying this, is that they're only going to go after the most egregious cases. Now, in the NBC News article that we're talking about here, this particular story actually references a law enforcement official told the reporter that, Ryan Riley. If he says law enforcement, I would assume he was speaking to FBI. Hmm. But they are saying, and they are being very clear about it, that they're pretty much going to leave the misdemeanor cases alone right now, and they're going to go after, because they have a lot of violence against law enforcement cases they have yet to bring. And some of those they've known their identity for over 3.5 years.
And they still bizarre. Have. And they've gone after a bunch of people who did nothing.
Absolutely.
Why? What's the reason for that?
Even the Sedition Hunters, who is the open source sleuths that have been assisting the FBI, some of them as paid CHSs, by the way. Mm-hmm. That's another thing that Ryan Riley himself revealed in his book called The Sedition Hunters. Mm-hmm. It was that some of these guys are being paid by our government to hunt down people that mill around.
Those millers.
Right. And so, but some of these, like for instance, on the FBI's most wanted page for January 6th offenders, they have a marked AFO, which is assault on a federal officer. And there's something like 90 of those left. And pretty much all of them have been identified for over 3 years by the Sedition Hunters. Even the Sedition Hunters are aggravated that they haven't been arrested. Well, obviously some of us have other questions about why they have not been arrested.
Right. Is it because they're looking for the right politically motivated Millers in the crowd? Or what is the reason for that?
Because it's they were provocateurs. Mm. Potentially paid provocateurs.
Yeah.
Who by? We don't know. But these questions have to be asked. I mean, it doesn't make any sense that they have literally destroyed the lives of hundreds of misdemeanor offenders. What I prefer to call the accidental tourists of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Myself, I wasn't there as an accidental tourist. I was there to do a job.
Right.
And so I have no regrets for my behavior that day whatsoever. I mean, when I arrived on the campus of the Capitol, I went into reporter mode and I behaved that way. And as you pointed out, we have the video evidence of my time there doing so. But some of these people did in fact just see an open door and went, hey, look, honey, the door, people are going in. And hundreds have gone in before them. They didn't know. There was no blaring sirens telling people to stay away. There was no cop saying you can't come in here. They just walk through an open door, often past many law enforcement officers. And so they've had their lives destroyed. They've lost their jobs. Some have lost their homes. They've lost their families, divorces, complete wrecked lives while these more violent offenders have been identified and not gone after.
It's very, very strange. None of it makes any sense the way they've done this. I mean, they had plenty of time to get this done. I mean, it's not like, you know, there wasn't a lot of cameras there. Pretty much everybody's been identified that was in the building. And yet we're still dealing with this. There's a story you mentioned. Ryan Riley has a story. FBI searches an alleged January 6 rioters home as clock ticks on Capitol attack cases. There have been these cases, people who are old, people who are sick, people who are in the midst of all sorts of personal trauma, and they're still going after them.
Yeah, we had an arrest the week after the election here in Austin, Texas, a 74-year-old man with cancer. And probably if it had been a week later, they might have overlooked him or bypassed his case, because what I'm told is that the DOJ, if it was an open misdemeanor case, in other words, the warrants had already been signed off by the judge or the magistrate, that in those cases, they're going ahead and following through.
Okay.
But if now at this time, there's probably no misdemeanor cases in the pipeline at present. So they say they're going to focus on the more egregious, violent actors that day from this point forward. Now, there is a statute of limitations that runs out January 6th of 2026.
Okay.
And so they still have a year, assuming, well, let's not assume anything, but if the president doesn't issue a blanket pardon for all offenders, then they will continue going after people during that that time.
And we don't know if he's going to do that, obviously. Yeah. But I mean, I think it's pretty clear he's not going to be having a DOJ that's involved in the prosecution of misdemeanors related to that. I mean, that would be shocking if Donald Trump did that.
It's really going to be shocking if they continue. I would expect that whoever is going to replace Merrick Garland.
Do you think he might not keep Merrick Garland on? Is that what you're saying? You're breaking news here.
Yeah. But assuming that yes. Merrick Garland is gone,
yeah.
Who happens to be the guy that married my judge, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Merrick Garland was the officiant at my judge's.
That's wedding. Nice. What a nice
connection
coincidence.
Yeah. I'm sure it was a coincidence.
Yeah, of course.
But the point being is that I can't imagine that they're going to continue this process. Once the Department of Justice has been overhauled. But the reason why they haven't gotten as many as they have gotten, like you said, there's been plenty of time. Actually, you know, there's a limited number of judges that oversee this at the district court level in D.C., and they don't allow any change of venue. So, for instance, I was not allowed to have my trial in Texas or in North Carolina. Every change of venue has been denied, so that puts them in a very limited number of opportunities and hours in a day and number of judges to which to process these cases. And that's why they're still doing it, and that's why it's still going on.
Answer this if you can. What do the you've known these reporters, a lot of them, for a very long time, mm-hmm. like going back years, even before all of this happened. there are a lot of people who just watch this stuff from a distance and say, Donald Trump bad, this was a bad day, look at all the terrible video footage, all these people should be punished. But, you know, you are an example of this. You went to the Oath Keepers trial. You watched every minute of that. Right. You saw the mistakes and the and I'm calling them mistakes in air quotes, but like all the bad things they did during that trial, you watched it closely. Mm-hmm. Do other reporters see it this way? I mean, the people who are actually watching it day to day, do they see the holes in a lot of this? How do they see this?
You know, we all see things through our own lens.
Yeah.
We have a worldview. We have to admit that. Mm-hmm. But some of these reporters seem to have blinders on. And I, speaking of the Oath Keepers trial, it was very difficult for me to go home to my Airbnb every night there in D.C. and then pull up their stories of the guys that I'm watching in the same media room with me,
right,
and going, are you covering the same trial I'm covering? Because that happened almost every single day, because they would seem to focus on only that point which favored their own predilection towards, or their own feelings about the Oath Keepers, and rather than telling both sides of the story. Because as you know, there is a direct examination and then there is a cross-examination. Mm-hmm. And when they would only report on the direct examination and not report on maybe the victories the defense were having in the cross-examination, they're only telling half the story.
Yeah.
So they're telling the truth, but only half of it.
Do they feel that way? Like,
no.
So you think in reality, like they know what they see the same stuff that you're seeing.
I have spoken to some of them very intimately about this. They don't necessarily see it the same way, but not universally. There are some guys that are, you know, maybe more my age or more classical libertarians, liberal, and that's where they came up in their journalism.
Sure.
And they look at these cases and they're like, no, this is far overblown. And even the most left wing of them believe that the sentences are too long.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they believe that there's some really egregious sentencing going on here, especially when you compare it to other violent offenders and other riots in their same town.
It's incredible. There's so much still to come on this. We won't know what's going to happen. I mean, Trump's talked. Has he talked about when he would consider these pardons? He's talked about it pretty early, right? Like a day one type of situation, maybe.
You know, I'll be counting the minutes.
Yes, yes.
I mean, I have a sentencing date March 6th, so I've got, you know, a 2-week buffer after, you know, January 20th.
Yeah, yeah.
So a little over 2 weeks, and I'll be gnawing on my fingernails and everything else if he doesn't do it day one or day two. And he has given no timeline. There's still no signal whatsoever yet whether this is going to be a blanket pardon situation or whether it's going to be a case by case, as he's alluded to previously.
Yeah.
That it would be case by case. I'm actually in, I've come around to this. I was never in the blanket pardon camp before, but I have come around to it because I see the complexity of it. I mean, you have people being sentenced to 22 years, 18 years, that did no violence, weren't even on the campus that day, weren't not even in the city that day. We have people that are getting those kinds of sentences, no violence whatsoever. And I think it's time to follow John Adams' a statement that he made in the trial of, you know, the British troopers on the Boston Massacre, when he said, I would rather, you know, five guilty go free than to see one innocent suffer.
Well, and certainly been plenty of suffering as it relates to all of this. Steve Baker, investigative journalist, of course, here at Blaze Media, Blaze Media correspondent. Steve, I mean, we'll keep following you, and when whatever happens, we definitely want to have you back on.
Thank you, Stu.
Lust auf besonders feine Weihnachten? Erlebe einzigartigen Genuss mit Rewe Feine Welt. Diese Woche zum Beispiel Rewe Feine Welt Schweizer Käse Trüffeltraum mildwürzig, je 150 Gramm Packung, nur 3,49 Euro. Oder Rewe Feine Welt italienischer Prosciutto Crudo, roher Schinken, mit Meersalz behandelt, mindestens 18 Monate gereift, je 100 Gramm Packung nur 4,29 Euro. Festlich sparen mit Genuss. Rewe, dein Markt.
Well, the House COVID-19 panel has released their final report criticizing public health response to the pandemic. Lots of good stuff against people like Andrew Cuomo in there. Also, kind of something that I think is relatively obvious to most at this point. 520-page report, the House Select Subcommittee on the Coronavirus Pandemic, concludes that the coronavirus, quote, most likely emerged from a laboratory in Wuhan, China, citing factors like biological characteristics of the virus and illnesses among researchers at the Wuhan Institute of Virology in the fall of 2019. Real shocker there. Stunner that they happen to be, you know, the outbreak happens right down the road from the place where they study these viruses. And it was not really ever a shock. We played a Jon Stewart clip earlier. He said the same thing at the time, after obviously a lot of conservatives had said the exact same thing. It seems kind of obvious that that's what happened. Biden not going out, without making sure he gets his agenda sort of done here. He's surging arms to Ukraine, fearing that Trump will halt U.S. aid. Certainly possible that Trump will do that, though he has also said he will send even more weapons to Ukraine. So we don't know where he's going to land on that. A lot of this is negotiation, and that's one of the things that Trump does pretty darn well. In fact, it comes to a lot of good ends for him. For example, Macron's Paris invite shows power fast flowing from Biden to Trump. Really, Trump is kind of in office right now, it seems like. And Biden's kind of out of office. I know he's dilly-dallying around Angola or something right now, avoiding questions from the media. But like, Trump is the one making the important statements. Trump is the one seemingly setting our agenda. That's not always a good thing when you have, you know, you can only have one president and one foreign policy at a time. But, you know, Biden's basically off the job at this point. And, you know, Trump is out there just doing stuff. Trump suggesting Canada could become the 51st state after Trudeau said tariff would kill economy. He said, well, you know, if it happens to kill your economy, you can always come and become our 51st state. You could even be governor. So a very nice offer from Donald Trump, and a great, great statement from him on the situation in Gaza. Trump demands immediate release of October 7th hostages, says otherwise there will be hell to pay. He says, please let this truth serve to represent that the hostages are not released prior to January 20th, 2025, the date that I proudly assume office as president of the United States. There will be all hell to pay in the Middle East. And for those in charge who perpetrated these atrocities against humanity, those responsible will be hit harder than anybody has been hit in a long and storied history of the United States of America. Release the hostages now. Look, you cannot like Trump. You can say he does things that you don't appreciate, whatever. But how has Joe Biden not made a statement like that? I get that it might not be as exciting if Joe Biden made that statement, but like, how have we not made a statement like, you will pay? If you don't do this, release these damn hostages and do it right now. Congratulations for Donald Trump for coming out and saying it. Go, and when he gets in office, I think he'll do something about it. I don't think he's going to sit back and just keep waiting. You know, we've been putting on the how many days the hostages have been gone on the radio show since the very beginning. We're over 400 days. I don't know the exact title or number right now, but every morning we do it on the radio. And we put that up there to remind people, hey, there's still American freaking hostages, American citizens who are over there being held hostage by Hamas. And our president does nothing. Well, the new one seemingly is going to do something, and I can't wait for that to start. Anytime you have to make a big change in life, it's hard. And this is especially true when you're trying to buy or sell a home. It's really complicated. It takes a lot of time, a lot of jumping through hoops. I have a relative who just moved down to this area, and she still got her home back up north. And it's just like, you know, going through all the stuff and setting it aside and figuring out where you're going to price it and what realtor you're going with and all that stuff is just such a freaking hassle. You need somebody on your side who you can actually trust. RealEstateAgentsITrust.com is the place to go to find that person. They pair you with the top-selling real estate agent in your area. This is someone who knows the best practices, who understands the housing market, who is a team leader and a closer, someone you can trust. If you're thinking about buying or selling a home or both, please get in touch with them. You'll see what I mean. It's RealEstateAgentsITrust.com. The name says it all. It's a free service to you. RealEstateAgentsITrust.com. It's RealEstateAgentsITrust.com. A cryptocurrency entrepreneur bought a banana. Well, it was art, guys. Come on, it was art. Banana art for $6.2 million. This is in Hong Kong. And it's kind of interesting. I mean, the the guy who did it, I guess, is the founder of the cryptocurrency Tron, which has like a $26 billion market cap. So he's got some cash, apparently. Here he is with the art, and it's a banana taped to a wall. Now, previous versions of the same art, it's called Comedian, sold for $120,000 and $150,000. This one's $6.2 million. What did he do with it? He ate it. I mean, now it's interesting because he didn't buy the banana for $6.2 million. He got a certificate that says he can then tape a banana to a wall and call it a piece of art called Comedian, because that's worth $6.2 million. Money well spent, boys and girls. All right, we'll see you tomorrow.